Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Well, we are in the middle of our Bible series, and David is going to have me cover everything between here and Exodus for the next 2 weeks. But for the scope of this sermon, we're going to kind of narrow it down to the person of Abraham today, just because he is the first patriarch, and I just want to kind of give y'all a little bit of a background. I'm really not going to use my notes because last time, I'm just not a notes person. I'm just going to kind of talk. So I hope this goes the way it's supposed to. Once upon a time in a field, long, long time ago, there was a boy walking next to his father. He kind of canvassed the area. He realized that there were other people that were a little bit different than him. And as the shepherd boy was walking, he pulled on his dad's jacket and asked him, "Dad, who are we? Who are we?" The dad instantly recognized that this wasn't the story of the creation story of where we came from. But what the boy was really asking is, who are we? How do I interpret this world? How do I interpret people in my life? And so Abram, which his name wasn't Abraham yet, but his name was Abram, said these words: "Our father was a wandering Aramean from the city of Ur of Chaldeans." Do what? "Our father was a wandering Aramean from the city of Ur of the Chaldeans." Now, this seems really awkward and strange to us, but it would have been very familiar to a shepherd boy in the middle of a field. Because to us, there are key signature words that help us recognize things. Like if I say Highland Park, we all have an idea of what Highland Park is, correct? Now, if I say Pilot Point, how many people don't even know where Pilot Point is? There's a few, okay? So we have this stereotype as soon as we put out words. And as soon as Abram would have told this child, or as soon as the shepherd boy would have asked his father this question, and he said these words, "Ur of the Chaldeans, our father was a wandering Aramean," it would have made sense. Because one, he was a shepherd boy. Abram was a shepherd in a certain extent. He came from the city of Ur, which was really well known back then. It was a very wealthy town. The Chaldeans were a very established people. There were the Babylonians, Mesopotamians, all of these people gathered around. And all of a sudden, the boy wants to know, who am I? Anyone in this room ever asked that question? Especially in the midst of tragedy that we have faced this past week. Early on, I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday, but Twitter basically exploded. I don't watch the news, so the only news I get is what's relayed to me from other people. So I find out that there's a bombing that goes on, and my world's a little bit shaken because I'm fearful. I'm wanting to protect myself. That's my first agenda. A few days later, there's an explosion just south of us in West Texas, which is actually not West Texas, it's more Central Texas, but the town is called West Texas. And then again, my world is a little bit shaken. And then I'm told to preach on the story of Abram. And I am reminded of one thing. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Let's turn on the scripture. This is Genesis 11, 27 through 32. This is the family history of Terah. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran was the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur in Babylonia, where he was born. Abram and Nahor both married. Abram's wife was named Sarah, and Nahor's wife was named Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, who was the father of Milcah in Iscah. Sarah was not able to have a child. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and his daughter-in-law Sarah and moved out of the city of Ur of Babylonia. They had planned to go to the land of Canaan, but when they reached the city of Haran, they settled there. Terah lived to be 205 years old, and then he died in Haran. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now, genealogies in the Bible are extremely boring. Number one, you can't pronounce it. Number one, you're not related to any of these people. And number two, you would never name your child any of these names, okay? Milka, they're gonna be made fun of. You would never do this, but genealogy back then was important to people. Genealogy, your family genealogy is important to you. Does that make sense? And what had happened is they connected their first genealogy to this person named Abram. He was the first patriarch because the very next story in the Bible goes like this. This is taken out of Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your relatives, your family and friends, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I will place a curse on those who harm you, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you." And the very next verse, so Abraham went. Okay, little biblical history. Back then, everyone was kind of pantheistic. And what that basically means is there are multiple gods back then. This is the time Abraham, okay? There were a lot of gods people go to. How many of you have ever opened up a fortune cookie and actually believed it? Okay, this is kind of a god, believe it or not. You know, somebody tells you something, you're kind of thinking about that all day. That's kind of a god. Back then, everyone was pantheist. They believed in all of these gods. And all of a sudden, Abram tells his family, his friends, his relatives, and all of these people, "I'm out of here." And their question to him was, "Well, which one of these gods told you to go?" And Abram goes, "Well, none of them. It was none of these gods." And they would have looked at him like, "Dude, have you lost your mind?" How many of you in this same situation of all of a sudden you had a calling upon your life and you start calling your family and friends and you say, "You know what? I'm gonna take my friends, I'm gonna take myself, my family, and one of my cousins and their family and friends, and we're gonna go to, let's say, the Middle East for about 4 years." Would they think you have lost your mind, right? The exact same thing is happening. We are connected to that history. Does that make sense? Because the very next verse, what said, Abraham went. He trusted in this voice that nobody could put a figure on. And there's all these wonderful stories of Abraham, and you can look them up sometime. But he trusted in this voice that was a calling on his life. Even though he couldn't define it, he couldn't shape it, he couldn't do this, he is called the patriarch of our faith. Because he believed. One problem. He left, trusting in this covenant, and you gotta remember at verse 30 of Genesis 11, Sarah was not able to have a child. This continued on for the next 24 years of their life. 24 years of their life, there was this promise, this child was gonna come, this promised child, and this whole nation was gonna be birthed, blessings upon blessings, all of this stuff through this one child. For 24 years, they waited. That's a long time to wait. And all of these weird things ended up happening. He tried to shortcut the system. He lied about who his wife was, lied about who his cousin was, lied all of these things, but he was continually growing in his relationship with God, learning to trust with him. Some of you might be in that phase in your life now. Some of us have a radical transformation of faith where we instantly come to Christ and we turn away from our lives. And some of us just have this long, ongoing faith like Abram did. It was a slow transformation of understanding. And yes, we mess up, but we learn to trust in him along the way. But for 24 years, they waited and still no child. And finally, a messenger came to Abram. Abram did all the right social things that he was supposed to do. He started washing these feet, and this messenger told Abram that you are going to have a child next year. Actually, told Haran and his wife. And Sarah laughed. She laughed. Are you kidding me? I've been barren with this guy for all of these years. I'm at 100 years old now, and you expect me to give birth. So she laughed. And the voice said to her, "Why do you laugh? The messenger asked her, why do you laugh? He says, because of this, your child will be named Isaac. And so it goes like this. The child is born. We don't know how much longer this is, but one of the most incredibly disturbing stories in our Bible is called the binding. Look it up sometime. It's in Genesis chapter 22. In this story, for people up until the time of Christ, would have been very confusing. Genesis 22. It was through this one child, Isaac, that the promise was going to happen, right? And then these words were spoken to Abraham. Abraham, Abraham, take your son, your only son that you love, bring him up to the mountain that I will show you and sacrifice him. Wait, what? What? I waited for 25 years for the promised child. The promised child is born, and now you're telling me to sacrifice the promised child that you gave me. Anyone bothered by this story? I would have been. And so this is what happens. Abraham went, as he always does, trusting in God. He went to the land of Moriah. This is the same Temple Mount, the same Dome of the Rock, the same place that Jesus would be sacrificed. He took Isaac and two other servants, carried the wood onto a donkey, brought them to the land of Moriah. Third day, in 3 days, they waited on the side of this mountain for God to speak. And God spoke. And he said, Abraham, Abraham, take your son, load the wood on his back, carry him to the place where he's to be sacrificed. Abraham went. He loaded the wood onto his son's back. Abraham carried a knife in one hand and a stick of fire in the other hand, because this is how sacrifice happens. And Isaac, in his curiosity, goes, dude, I see the knife, I see the fire, I got the wood on my back, where's the ram? Where's the animal to be sacrificed? And Abraham's only word to his son was, God will provide. God will provide. They went to a specific place that God had directed. Abraham with his son would have laid out this wood. And you got to understand, when sacrifices were to be burnt in the Old Testament, the entire thing had to be burnt. Does that make sense? Can you imagine the amount of wood it would take to burn a child? Yes, I put that image in your head. He had to carry this. So he's a little bit older. Some people think he was like young as 12, but you know, according to what you read, he could be as old as 25. So they built this altar. Abraham binds his child, ties his arms up, puts him on this altar, raises it up, and then a voice speaks to him, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on this boy or do anything to harm him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld anything from me, your son, your only beloved son that you love. Okay? And this was the covenant repeated again in Genesis 22, 16 through 18. By myself I have sworn to you, declares the Lord of Lords, because you have done this one thing and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offsprings as the stars in the heavens, as the sands that are on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess all of the lands, and their enemies and their gates will be broken. Your offspring shall bless all the nations of the earth because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have obeyed my voice. For thousands of years, people had a problem with this story. But we are on this side of history now today. We are on this side of the cross. Hear these words. Isaac was a son of a promise. Jesus Christ is the son of the promised. Isaac continued a lineage from Abraham to a new generation. Jesus Christ continues a lineage from Abraham to a new generation. Isaac was his father's only son. Jesus Christ was God's only son. Isaac was sacrificed on Mount Moriah. Jesus Christ was sacrificed at the area of Mount Moriah. Isaac carried wood on the back of his back to be sacrificed. Jesus Christ carried a cross made out of wood to be sacrificed. Isaac was obedient to his father even to the point of death. Jesus Christ was obedient to his father even to the point of death. Isaac was raised up by the power of God when God provided another ram. Jesus Christ was raised up through the power of God. Amen. The story doesn't make sense until now. Because when Abraham raised up his knife to sacrifice his son, God stopped. Because as Abraham told his son, God will provide a way. But what ends up happening 6,000 years later is the person of Jesus Christ is born. He lives his life. He carries on the same model, but God did not stop that knife. He didn't stop this time. Why? Because today there's a new generation. It's you. You guys are carrying the same story that was birthed in Genesis, the origin, the beginning of all things. When people ask you, "Who am I?" your answer is this: we are the children of God. We are the children of a covenant. We are the children of a promise. We are the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no matter what bombs go off in this world, no matter how barren your womb may be, no matter the death that happens around you, the destruction that goes on, your message is this: we are the children of God. We are the children of promise. We are the children of a covenant. We are the children of the King of Kings. And our story goes all the way back to one man who went. One man willing to hear that voice and say, "You know what? I'm going." Now, the genius of God is this. In this message, I don't know what you need to hear, but God does. I don't know the personal stories that are going on in your life, but God does. I don't know the areas that you need to minister to, but God does. And the genius of God is this. Hear these words. You are the children of God. You are the children of a promise. You are a children of a covenant. You are a children of King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus does something the night before he is crucified. He gathers his disciple to have one last meal. He raises up a cup and he says, "Drink this blood, for this is a new covenant offered to many." I don't know what God needs you to hear today. But my challenge for you is whatever you are facing, whether it be Boston, whether it be West Texas, whether it be a barren womb, whatever it may be, that you say, "God, you know what? Abraham waited for 24 years. He learned to trust you." That when that knife went through your son, your only beloved son, you gave us a new way. And how we interpret this world is through the power of that death. That we are now alive, seeing things in a new way, and that you are constantly calling us to serve you. That's the challenge of our faith, is to hear the word and say, "You know what? I'm going." Let's pray. Dear Father God, the example of Abraham and the faith that he had makes him the patriarch of our belief. We thank you that out of all the many gods that were alive back then, that he learned to go above all of those and say, "You know what? You are the Lord Almighty." And that with his son Isaac, He gave us an example of what was to come through the person of Jesus Christ. I pray through that story that we can recognize that we are to be born again, that in that birth where we are born again, we see this world new, that we live as new creatures, that we are willing to go where you tell us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.